Father. And every faithful heart, fallen brother, can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, friends. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again as we are rounding out the month of August and headed into September. September, yes. What, I mean, it's a time of transition, right? Every time I think of September, I think, yep, we're finally, at least according to the months, we're transitioning into the season of autumn, which I know it's my favorite season, and I know many of you would say the same. And those of you who it's not their favorite season, you're sick of hearing about it. I know how it goes. But nonetheless, I am excited as we are just turning the page into September, and the air will start getting brisk, and there'll be things like mugs of hot cocoa and, yeah, and fires and, yeah, wonderful things that are going on, colors in the leaves, of course. And so as this transition is taking place and we're transitioning back to school into a more settled, I think, form of living, yeah, there's many things that come across our plates in these days as we go back into the program year for many of you who work in parish ministry, into the school year for those of you who are part of a school year. There are things that become a little bit more regular. And one of the regular things that needs to be in our lives is also a sense of humility, which is what our readings talk about from this upcoming Sunday. Specifically, we've got from the book, I love this quote, by the way. This is from our Old Testament reading. It's from the book of Sirach, and Sirach chapter 3. And it goes like this: humble yourself the more, the greater you are, and you will find favor with God. Humble yourself the more, the greater you are, and you will find favor with God. There's something about donning a sense of humility, donning the robe of humility, if you will, that raises us in the eyes of the Lord, because it is then the Lord that does the lifting. You know, those who humble themselves will be exalted, right? And I once heard Father Jim Kubicki say that humility is not thinking less of yourself so much as it is thinking of yourself less, which I really like that definition of humility as well, that it's not a self-effacing kind of false humility, but it's thinking of yourself less. It's putting the needs of others before your own, which St. Paul encourages us to do in his letter to the Philippians, to consider others better than ourselves, right? And humility is not something that we oftentimes like to talk about. Maybe it's kind of a self-defeating conversation to have, right? I take great pride in my humility. But that being the case, it is still something that is there, and it's an invitation that our Lord gives us to humble ourselves before Him. That's the invitation, too, that Jesus is giving us in this Sunday's gospel reading as well, when He talks about not taking the guest or the place of honor as you're a guest at a wedding banquet. But you might have to give up your place if somebody of greater honor comes. But rather, take the lowest place, he says. Not just take a lower place. Take the lowest place. Well, what is this but an imitation of our Lord himself, right? He is the second person of the Most Holy Trinity. Gave up, again, going back to St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, you know, didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. But humbling himself, right? He was found in human form, right? He became a servant. He took the lowest place. And that is who we are being, our lives are being conformed to, our lives of renewal are being conformed to the image and likeness of Jesus, who is the servant of all. And yet his rightful title, as he says, his rightful title is master, master of all. In fact, as he says at the end of Matthew's gospel, all authority or all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me, right? That being the case, he still utilizes that power to serve others and reveal to them the love of the Father. And that's what you and I, folks, are called to do. We're called to participate in that mission of Jesus, of humbling ourselves, taking the lowest place so that it reveals the love of the Father, who is willing to send his one and only Son for our good, for our salvation, to rescue us from the clutches of sin and death and evil. That's what humility is about, and it invites us, he invites us to be imitators of him. Many who are first shall be last, and many who are last shall be first. All right, so that's just a little bit of thoughts on humility, because those who humble themselves will be exalted by God, and I think we're going to have some living proof of that in the hour to come as we're talking with Father Tom Wilson and Mary Kay Bungert about All Saints in Lakeville, who, well, we're going to find out more about it, but they were named by the Star Tribune as one of the top 150 places to work in Minnesota. So we're going to talk to them about that. Then we'll have Celeste Responti on, whose mother grew up with Mother Frances Cabrini, and she's going to talk to us a little bit about that, and particularly about writing a book of that story called Our Saint, A Friend of the Family. So she's going to be on to talk about that. And then later on in the program, Susanna Parent, our very own producer here of the Rediscover Hour, is going to get on this side of the mic and talk about the Behold series, of which she is the founder for young adult women, about where it came about and what it is all about and how people can get involved. So that's what's coming to us on this episode of the Rediscover Hour. First, though, let's pause and let's commit this show to the intercession, to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. As together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, Father Tom Wilson and Mary Kay Bungert from All Saints in Lakeville on being one of the top 150 places to work in Minnesota. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank, or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar, a place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year, and a guaranteed minimum return in the future, with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
There's a wayward child comes home. It's in the desert of temptation. Lies the storm of true conversion. Where springs are living water.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Joining me now in studio to talk to us about an honor that was bestowed upon their parish is Father Tom Wilson, who is the priest of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis and a pastor of All Saints in Lakeville, coming to All Saints in 2008, and Mary Kay Bungert, who's the director of mission at All Saints, who recently completed her doctorate in leadership through the University of St. Thomas with concentrated study on lay ecclesial ministry. And this honor was given through the Star Tribune that All Saints was named one of the top 150 places to work in the state of Minnesota. So, Father, Mary Kay, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Patrick.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk about this. When did you first find out that you were being named as one of the top 150 places to work? Do you remember?
2 years ago, we had an employee who nominated us, and we had no clue that she had nominated us until they called and said, "You've been nominated." Okay. And our school principal, Carol Marguerite, got the pleasure of doing all of the paperwork that goes with that nomination. And after they do an extensive interviews and survey of employees, and though the first year we were honored to be in the top 150s in 2018, What number were we that year, Father?
21.
21. He never forgets. And this year, when we were invited to redo the application, we did, and we bounced up from 21 among small employers to number 6.
Number 6?
Mm-hmm,
that's amazing.
Employers.
And these are ranked. I mean, so it does make a difference that you move up.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. There's a system, that a consulting firm that the Star Tribune works with, that gathers the data that they accumulate from our employees. Important to note that the employees are all doing this anonymously. It's not flowing through my desk or Mary Kay's before it gets there. And the consulting outfit is very good about accumulating the data, and then they rank it. And they had showed us this year that our numbers had actually, our raw numbers had increased a bit from last year. And we obviously didn't know what that compared with in terms of other employers at that time, but they did indicate that the raw data had increased. So we had some sense that we might go up a little bit, but very, very pleased to be number 6 out of.
So what kind of things are they looking at? What are their metrics?
Yeah, I think a lot of it when they have the big gathering of all the outfits, all the employers who have been named winners in the survey, they talk about culture. Mm-hmm. They talk about a culture of essentially humanity, recognizing the needs of employees, our employees being treated well. In terms of their dignity as human beings, do employees feel good about what they are doing every day? Do they feel like their needs, not just professionally, but also on a human level, are they being met within their jobs and their careers as well?
There are some of the factual metrics as well. They do look at compensation and benefits. They look at whether or not an employee feels engaged in their work. And then they also have a measure of what the employee believes is the effectiveness of the leadership of the organization. So all of those metrics are played into it as well.
Right. Well, it's rather astounding that somewhere like a Catholic parish would be featured in this sort of way as a place to work. Because oftentimes for us ordinary, if you will, lay Catholics, the parish is, well, this is where we encounter Jesus, where we come for Mass, where we have the sacraments, it's our place of worship and that sort of thing. But being a former parish employee, this is saying something that's pretty significant. Yeah. So Father, it looks like you're about to say something.
No, I think that it's absolutely true that the first thing that we want to be is a place that people encounter Jesus Christ. And I believe that part of the reason that we were named in this is that everyone that works for us at All Saints knows that. Mm-hmm. And that is the mission that we have, is that people would be able to encounter the Lord and be able within their jobs to lead people to Christ. And I believe that one of the reasons that we're named as a top employer is because everybody understands the mission and is on board with the mission. And as much as we talk about, this is kind of our neighbors gathering together to pray, it still is a workplace. Mm-hmm. We've got dozens and dozens and dozens of employees that come in to work, to serve a mission, but also to be making livings for their families and things like that. And I think one of the challenges of church life is that we have to straddle that boundary between yes, we are a mission, but we are also a place of employment and have to work with both of those things, and we can't lose sight of either.
Right. Yeah. Mary Kay, as director of mission, it seems like that such an honor of being named 100 in the top 150 places to work in Minnesota, that would have some sort of evangelistic effect, or at least provide some opportunities that may not have been there before. Have you seen anything like that?
I do. I think that at least for the ministry staff, which I work with closely every single day, for us, the top 150 honor, and when it shows up in the newspaper, is really not about us. It's really about the opportunity for the Catholic Church to be seen again in the secular environment as doing something healthy, something mm-hmm. good, and that we are, that there is something wonderful afoot in the church when that can happen, right? And that's what we focus on when we look at the top 150. We don't navel gaze and look at, ooh, how great we are. We really look at how can this be used and how can we talk about that. I think it's fun for parishioners to be able to say that they go to church someplace that's like that. I was just at dinner on Sunday night with friends to celebrate my anniversary, and it came up there that somebody said, oh, yeah, I saw that in the newspaper. What does that mean? And I got to talk about it again to people I was at dinner with who aren't even Catholic.
Right. Yeah, well, it provides some of those opportunities. It's a natural way of, it's a maybe a more non-threatening way to enter into some of those conversations that mm-hmm. That might be that way. Well, tell us about some of the things that are going on at All Saints. What are some of the things that you're excited about right now that are fulfilling that mission that everybody who works there understands?
Where do you want to start, Father? from a events point of view, we're heading into a really busy season. It's not just the beginning of school, but we're kicking off what we call our discipleship renewal season. And so we're heading into a time where we're inviting parishioners to consider how they will share their faith, sacrifice their resources, and contribute meaningful service to the community, both in the parish and beyond. And that kicks off with a big event and a free omelet breakfast on the 7th and 8th of September, but with the idea that they're stopping and visiting with all of the ministries in the parish and having a chance to find out where God might be calling them to serve and to think about the places where they might be willing to make some sacrifices and being able to be prepared to share faith. So it's kind of a big season for us.
And a big focus on laity getting involved and
yes.
living out their faith.
And it continues. I mean, this is a season for us. It continues all the way into November. Mm-hmm. So it's not a one weekend thing. It's a full season of looking at that. We have a new messaging team at All Saints that Father Wilson started working with us last spring. And the goal is to put together seasonal messages that are aligned with the gospel that can be repeated and help us to grow and remember what God's calling to us every season. So for the beginning, the 7th and 8th of September, the mission is going. The message is to embrace God's extravagant mercy. Right. Mm.
Yeah.
For several years, Patrick, we've invited and or challenged, depending on the word you'd prefer to use, the people at All Saints to recognize the gifts that God has blessed them with and to consciously discern how they are to be used, really trying to change a paradigm, frankly, that I think has probably been alive in church circles and church world for a very long time, that we sort of list all the tasks that we have to have done, right. And then people step up and say, I will do that, and asking them to take a step back and say, what is it that God is calling me to do? What are the gifts that God has given me to do it? And then doing our best to match people's gifts with their particular talents and charisms. And in so doing, we hope to create a more joyful, satisfied, and growing in Christ community, which will be attractive then to people coming in.
Yeah, you're saying my called and gifted lines for me right there. Yeah, and I know we've done workshops there at All Saints, and I'm impressed. I was impressed when I've been there, always about the level of involvement, whether it be both from, as we said, employees, but also parishioners, that All Saints seems to be a great way of encouraging people to do just that, of living into the gifts that they have been given and to live out their faith through those gifts. Father, I have a question just for you specifically as both pastor and as a sort of boss of the parish, of the employees who are there. Do you find it difficult to kind of go back and forth between those or to wear both of those hats simultaneously?
That is a very good question, Patrick, and I've thought and prayed about that for a very long time, that the unique role of being pastor and priest gives us a relationship with both our staff and people, which is on one level professional, if you will, but on another level very, very personal and fatherly. And it's a role that I enjoy very much. I think that God has given me some graces and some charisms to be able to walk that way with people and to have people understand sort of the administrative and organizational role that I have, but also the role as spiritual father, and to be able to tell the difference and when one is needed and the other is not. And I think that, frankly, one of the reasons that I believe that we've created a healthy place to work is that we recognize those differences. I have an excellent administrative team that is able to, frankly, do a lot of the heavy lifting on many of the administrative things, which I supervise, but they're actually executing and doing a wonderful job on that. So it allows me to walk in that fatherly role as much as possible.
Right. Different members of the body.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Now, Mary Kay, correct me if I'm wrong, but you've been at All Saints for over 30 years now?
35 years.
That's amazing. So can you sum up in the next 2 minutes some of the changes, or how has God blessed All Saints? How have you seen God bless All Saints in the last 35 years?
Well, we're Lakeville in and of itself is a thriving community. When I started at All Saints in 1984, there were roughly 12,000 people who lived in the entire city, and now there's 12,000 people in the parish. You know, so
Wow. It's
basically he's the pastor of a small town, and I'm always aware of the size of that, right, and the meaning of that. For me, right now, a lot of the richness comes from the fact that we're, as employees, we're given really permission and are encouraged to find new ways and new avenues in which we can continue to make God's message and God's love known to others. We take calculated risk. You know, it's okay to try something new if it's got a good reason and a good purpose, not just because we want to, because it's really going to serve the mission. And it's okay if it's not great the first time. We've kind of discovered that some things that we have tried have taken 5 years to go from we started it to it's really bearing fruit. And Father Wilson has given us the opportunity and has been patient with us to allow those things to take time to grow. And so when they take off, it's been really fruitful and really wonderful.
That's great. Father, we're running out of time, but I would be remiss if I didn't ask you if you'd be willing to give us and all our listeners an on-air blessing, please, before we let you go.
I would be honored to do so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, good and gracious God, we are grateful for the many blessings that you pour down upon us. We are grateful for the gift of faith within our communities and especially our listening audience. And we just ask that you, in your goodness and your kindness and your generosity, pour down your blessing upon all of us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Well, Father Wilson, Mary Kay Bunger from All Saints in Lakeville, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour. And God bless you as you continue to seek after that mission.
And very good. Thanks for having us, too.
Thank you.
Is great.
Absolutely. Well, certainly a wonderful standard to be held to, an award, something that could be really something to aspire to, not for the sake of the glorification of self or one's parish, but for the sake, as we heard about, of facilitating more conversations and where people are seeing that there are good things going on in the church, that our Lord is indeed active and working in our midst. And I think it's a wonderful gift that he has given by exalting all saints in this way as they continue to humble themselves before him. All right, well, joining me now in studio is a good friend of mine. I think I'll start out with that, as we worked together at the Cathedral of St. Paul for some time. Celeste Rosponti identifies herself as a teacher with experience in producing, directing, and performing. She is also a successful playwright. Her published and produced plays include full-length and short plays, the book and lyrics for an operetta, children's plays, religious drama, and chamber theater scripts. So she is an accomplished writer as well, and we're going to be talking about that. Celeste, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Well, it's wonderful to have you. And this time, we're talking about particularly your mother's relationship with a very unique individual. We're unique in some ways anyway. Who are we talking about here?
Well, we're talking about Mother Francesca Zavaria Cabrini. Mother Cabrini spent so much of her life in Chicago, and I'm a Chicago girl, and my whole family's from Chicago. One day, Mother Cabrini, who daily made ventures into the Italian community, those particularly who had succeeded a little, came into my grandfather's wholesale fruit and vegetable house on South Water Street and was begging for food for the poor. And he gave her a carriage, loaded it with fruit and vegetables, and my mother, who was working in the office, my mother always said she was good at numbers, so every once in a while she would help in my grandfather's store. He said, "Lillian, get and help Mother Cabrini." So my mother would ride with Mother Cabrini from place to place, and then after they were finished for the day, my grandfather would invite her to dinner at their house. So Mother Cabrini, not every Wednesday, but usually on Wednesdays, Mother Cabrini would have dinner at the home of my grandparents, Celestino and Elisabetta. And of course, this was, my mother always said, she was just like an ordinary nun. She was, she sang with us, she drank wine, she ate pasta, she was friendly and open. She was a family friend, and so that's the title of my book, is Our Saint, a Friend of the Family.
Yeah, that's right. You've documented this, Our Saint, a Friend of the Family, and it's telling the stories, right? Telling the stories. And is this, I've seen the book, and thank you for the copy that you brought to me. It's beautifully illustrated. Is it meant as a children's book? It's kind of put together in a way that at least children could be very attracted to.
Yes. But not necessarily, because the story is interesting to everybody. When I tell it, people seem to find it interesting, and that confirms what I say. But it is, it's an important story. I remember my mother told me once that when Mother Cabrini would come back to Assumption School, the sisters would have the children do a program for her. And because my mother spoke very beautiful Italian, my mother was asked to recite some poetry in Italian. And after she did this, Mother Cabrini came up to her, embraced her, and gave her a holy picture of the Assumption. The name of the school was the Assumption School. And I said, "Well, where is that?" And she said, "Oh, I lost it." I said, "You lost it?" And she said, "Well, I didn't know she was going to be a big saint. She was just an ordinary sister. She ate with us. She sang with us. She drank wine. She was our friend. I didn't know she was going to be a big saint." Well, that's an important part of the story.
Right.
She never appeared to anybody. And I would think that there are people in Chicago who probably could say, "Oh, yeah, I remember that, too." She was very well known. She was extremely good businesswoman. She bought property in Park Ridge, which is right outside of Chicago, where she could have a farm to provide food for the hospital, the Columbus Hospital in particular, and then for the poor. So she was a very smart person. She knew what she was doing. She didn't wear a halo.
Yeah,
you wouldn't have known that, right?
Go around levitating.
That's
everybody.
Right.
Yeah,
and
things like that.
And that's an important part of that too.
Well, it is, and in fact, as I reflect upon it, really the unique part of this story is that a friend of the family became a canonized saint, right?
Right.
I mean, it's not so much that people knew that they were having dinner with a saint, but we might be having dinner with saints all the time.
Of course.
Maybe I'm talking to one right now. A future canonized saint, right? Well, hopefully a future saint for certain. Canonized?
For
certain. We'll see. I'll see if I can start your prayer.
I'll be satisfied with the small s.
Okay. Yeah, you and I both. And we were just talking from our friends from All Saints, and maybe that'll be our feast day, right?
Mm-hmm.
As All Saints. Okay. So she appeared, Mother Cabrini just appeared as a friendly It sounds like somebody you would like to sit down and have dinner with.
That's right. She was, as my mother called her, she was just a friend of the family. The When Mother Cabrini was canonized, Cardinal Stritch was in Chicago, and he had there was something on the radio, and he talked about how important that she was in Chicago, and that she would ride our streetcars, she walked through our streets, she took care of our children. And my mother would listen to that, and then she would say, yes, but she was really a friend of our family. That was so important to my mother. And of course, I think that's important too.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Celeste, I know you to be a storyteller. You're a very good storyteller, and you can write those stories very well. I've personally seen some of that as well. And in the midst of everything else that you've published already, what made you decide to focus on telling this story in print?
Well, it's kind of a tribute to my mother.
Okay.
My mother was that person in the parish who does everything but say Mass. She and my father were volunteers in the parish. They did so many things. She loved the church. She taught us to love the church and to be volunteers, to give as much time as we could to the church. And I always wanted to tell this story because she was very proud of this, that Mother Cabrini used to have dinner at their table. And so it was, I think I started it just because I wanted to honor my mother.
What a beautiful way to do that as
yeah.
well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where is the book available? I'm sure some of our listeners
will
want
Well, the book is available on Amazon.
Okay.
At this point, that's, I think, where it's available.
Okay,
yeah.
Amazon.com. Mm-hmm. And the name again is Our Saint,
Our Saint, A Friend of the Family. It was illustrated by my niece, who is the granddaughter of my mother, and as an artist. She teaches in the Catholic schools in the Archdiocese of Chicago, and she did the illustrations.
And it's beautiful. They're beautifully done. Did you commission her to do those illustrations?
Well, her name is Deborah Zanger. I knew that if I asked her to do it, she would jump at it. So, of course, she was delighted to do it.
Yeah. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Very good. What are you hoping that people get out of reading your book? What will they personally get from it?
Well, first of all, something about Mother Cabrini.
Yeah.
That she was an ordinary person. As my mother said, I didn't know she was going to be a big saint. And I think that's important. Most of us aren't going to be big saints.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we will all be small S saints. And this is important, that she was somebody who came to dinner. Because she was Italian, she drank wine, she sang Italian songs, she ate pasta, she mm-hmm. did all the things. That's makes sainthood closer to us. And more achievable in a sense. We don't have to think of doing great things, but doing what we do for the love of God and doing it as well as we can.
Can you give us an idea of some of the things that she did outside of...
Well, she founded hospitals all over the country. She traveled all over the United States and also in South America, Central and South America. She would call every hospital that she ever founded was called Columbus. And she said, I do that because Italians know Columbus and are proud of him. And they will know and they will find us. She went to Central and South America riding on a donkey to found little missions there. And she would found hospitals for the poor. There's a shrine in New York for Mother Cabrini. The National Shrine for Mother Cabrini is in Chicago.
It is in mm-hmm. Chicago. Wow. Okay. So you said that there are probably other people in Chicago who interact this way. So it would just be, so again, it makes it more of a, this wasn't her, I guess this is just the way that she lived life, that she would interact with people.
Yes. And as I said, she was a very good businesswoman. Right from the very beginning, she would go to the Italians who had some success. And my grandfather was a successful wholesale fruit and vegetable vendor on the Chicago River. And so she would go to those people, Italians, who had already had some success, and beg for those who did not. She built a farm out in Park Ridge. She knew what she wanted to do, and For example, she visited every day. She would go to the schools and visit with children. And she told them, this is very important, she told them, be good Americans. Learn to speak English. Be good Americans. Become American citizens. When she came to the United States, very shortly afterwards, she became an American citizen. She thought that was very important. You came here, be American, be a good American citizen. And she encouraged children to do that. In Assumption School, which she founded in 1899, the children of where she would not allow the children to be taught in Italian. She wanted them to be taught in English. She encouraged them to keep their language at home. But she said, learn English, be good Americans, become American citizen. And she became American citizen in 1909.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So as she, as her influence seems pretty broad, I mean, in so many different ways mm-hmm. and affecting so many different lives, are there any ways that you can see that Mother Cabrini's influence on your own mother and maybe by extension your own life? Anything that you've seen that have influenced the lives of your mother and yourself?
Well, I think part of it is my parents, my mother, as I said, was very active in the church, and she was inspired by Mother Cabrini. She had five brothers and sisters, all went to Assumption School. Their parents were very active, and she passed that on down to us. You are in this parish, you belong to this parish, but part of what you do for the parish, you know, the parish, we have Mass, the sacraments, of course, that's the heart of our belonging to the parish, but then you must give something back, and that's your service. You can do it in big ways, you can do it in small ways, and I think that was very important to my mother, and I think in a way this is a little tribute to her.
Yeah, yeah. So just as we have just a minute or so left, I'm just wondering for your own, if you were to speak into the lives as maybe Mother Cabrini did, into the lives of the people who are listening now and encourage them in their lives and their lives of faith, any advice you would give that kind of stems from some of the things that Mother Cabrini gave to your family?
Well, one of her favorite sayings was, love God, and all will be well.
Love God, and all will be well. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. That's nice, short, and succinct. Mm-hmm. The book is Our Saint, A Friend of the Family by Celeste Responti and illustrated by Deborah Zanger. Have I got that
yes,
right?
Yes, my niece.
Mm-hmm. Your niece, Deborah Zanger. It's a beautiful book on telling the story of what it was like for Celeste's mother to grow up with Mother Cabrini. So, Celeste Responti, it's been great having you back on the Rediscover Hour. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
God bless. All right. We are going to head to our next break. When we come back, our own producer, Susanna Parent, is with us to talk about Behold, the young adult series for young adult women. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Father Simon Says on Relevant Radio.
I rely on your show daily. I want you to know really, really appreciate it. Well, it helps me a lot.
Father Simon Says.
Have a question?
I know Catholics don't believe about the rapture, but what do we believe about
yes.
the end times?
We believe in the parousia.
Father Simon Says.
What I like about your explanations is it gives me great reason to go back and listen to the podcast three or four times to really, really understand it. Because
it helps.
So I don't know, concentrated. And I need
it's,
to
yes, answer. Rather, I talk fast, yes.
Oh, it's wonderful stuff.
The Reverend Know-It-All, Father Richard Simon.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Good. Father.
What can I do for you?
God bless you, and you make me laugh all the time.
if you don't laugh, you cry.
Father Simon Says.
Enough with the kvetching.
Father Simon Says, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio.
Talk to you tomorrow. I am off like a cheap toupee.
I believe in a peace that flows deeper than pain. The broken find healing in love. No measure of his faithfulness. He withholds no good thing from us. No good thing.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with our producer, Susanna Parent, our techno producer, Paul Sadek. Coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. And speaking of our producer, Susanna Parent joins me now. She's always in studio, but just this time we've got her in front of a mic, which is great. Susanna Parent is the Evangelization Manager for the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis as part of the Office of Evangelization, and she's also the founder of Behold series for young adult women, which we will talk about now. Susanna, good to have you on this side of the mic.
Thank you. Yeah, this is a rare occurrence.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Every once in a while, we like to pull you out so you can share about, because believe it or not, folks, the Rediscover Hour is not the only thing that Susanna does, but Susanna, I need to tell you here on the mic that you do a great job with the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you for all you do for us.
Yeah, it's very good. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Behold. First of all, where did you get an idea for doing something like Behold? Where did the inspiration come from?
Yeah, so the inspiration came a couple years ago. I went to the Given Institute. At the time, it was called the Given Forum, which was a week-long immersion experience held at the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C. And there were 300 women there, 300 young adult women from every single state in the country. And they were there, and everyone had to come up with an action plan. So you had to come up with an action plan and bring it back to your diocese. And you had a mentor to make sure that you were following up on that. So you had accountability, which was crucial. So then, just through that whole experience at Given, I wanted to be able to somehow bring that back to the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis on a miniature scale, because it's impossible to do what they did in a week-long conference to just one day. Mm-hmm. But I brought it, I kind of tried to condense it down to a one-day retreat, and there were 50 women there from around the Archdiocese. It was an awesome, awesome day. But the feedback that we received from those women who attended the retreat is that they really loved the content, the speakers, meeting other young adult Catholic women. But what they wanted more time for was time for prayer and adoration, and also more time for Q&A with the speakers.
Okay.
So what we did is we took that one-day format and we stretched it out into an eight-week series, which we brought to Our Lady of Grace in Edina, fall of 2017. So what each week looks like is an hour and a half starting at 7 p.m. And we have just fellowship at first with snacks, and all the girls just kind of come together. And then we have a 20 to 25 minute presentation with a live speaker. That's followed by 15 to 20 minutes in the Adoration Chapel at Our Lady of Grace. So that's like their concrete time to take what they've just learned and then go and reflect on that with the Lord.
Yeah.
And then they come back and then they have time for small group discussion. There's a couple questions offered to prompt discussion if they'd like it. And then they have time for Q&A with the speaker.
So what's the overarching mission, if you will? Like, what are you hoping to inspire in these young women who attend the series?
Right. So the kind of the motto at Given is to recognize the gift you are, realize the gifts you've been given, and give the gift that only you can give. So I use that same motto for Behold, because women have so many awesome gifts to use in the church and the world. And also, a lot of it was prompted by JP2's letter to women. So if you're okay with it, I have a couple of quotations.
Sure.
To read from JP2's letter to women, because he's the man. And I mean, if he's the inspiration for Behold, then we should give him some credit here. But so first, one of the quotations he has in his letter is just thanking women. He thanks women from all across the board, whether they're mothers or wives, daughters, friends, businesswomen. He says, quote, "Thank you, every woman, for the simple fact of being a woman. Through the insight which is so much a part of your womanhood, you enrich the world's understanding and help to make human relations more honest and authentic." End quote.
Yeah.
And then he has another quotation, and he says, quote, "Woman will increasingly play a part in the solution of the serious problems of the future. Leisure time, the quality of life, migration, social services, euthanasia, drugs, healthcare, the ecology, etc. In all these areas, a greater presence of women in society will prove most valuable, for it will help to manifest the contradictions present when society is organized solely according to the criteria of efficiency and productivity. Mm. And it will force systems to be redesigned in a way which favors the processes of humanization which mark the civilization of love."
Sounds like he's talking a little bit like the feminine genius here.
Yeah,
some of the impact that women can bring on the whole host of issues that we face as humanity.
Right.
Right. And so Behold plays directly into that.
Yeah.
It's meaning to play directly into that.
Absolutely. So the goal is to help women understand, like, you have a deep purpose and you have gifts that only you can give. Mm-hmm. And what is the specific gift or charism that the Lord has given you and he wants you to bring into the world? So, yeah, that's the goal.
Let's go back to the recognize who you are piece. What do you mean by that? What's going on there?
Yeah, I think that really comes down to recognizing your identity in Christ. And in recognizing your identity in the Lord, that will instill confidence in you so that you can then be set out and have holy boldness with you. I think it's hard to really be courageous if we don't feel confident in who we are. And if we look to the world for who we are, then we're not really going to have that confidence. I mean, just look to social media and the results of that. It doesn't really spark a lot of confidence in people. But if we look to the one who created us out of love, then that will really help bolster us up so that we can go into the world with holy boldness.
I love that the feedback that you had and that you then started incorporating into the series was more time for prayer and adoration. Mm-hmm. Because that's really, the more we get to know Jesus, the more we are assured of our own identity, of our own dignity. And I think that's a wonderful thing. Talk about the title, Behold. Why call it Behold?
Yeah. So it comes from the Annunciation.
Sure.
So Luke 1:38 is Mary said, Behold, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. And so really, like, she's saying, Behold, like, I'm here before you, like, you are the Lord, send me out, like, I want to do your will. And so that's the same goal of Behold, is to help encourage women to go out into the world with their gifts and offer to the world what they have, just as Mary offered to the world her son.
Well, and that's, I think Mary, as always, you know, gives us such a wonderful example as the perfect disciple. Bearing in mind, too, and maybe this, I'm sure this has a particular effect on the lives of young adult women, is that she herself was a young adult woman, maybe even a teenager when this actually happened to her, and that there's it kind of blows any glass ceilings out of the water, right, in saying that there's no limit when partnering with the power of God and the love of God. There's no limit to who you can be and what you can do.
Right.
Am I right?
Right.
Okay. And that's where some of the inspiring is coming.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think are some of the things that young adult women are facing, some of the challenges that they're facing that Behold would help to remedy?
Yeah. Well, I think going back to instilling confidence in women, I think something that women lack is feeling like they're valued in who they are as women. And one of our speakers is going to speak directly to that. Dr. Deborah Savage is going to be speaking on the feminine genius, which is what JP2 talks about in his letter to women.
Right.
So that will be hit on for two nights of the series. I think another thing, too, is just really needing more encouragement in prayer and Catholic community. That was one of, I think, the biggest positive comments we received after the series was hearing that some of these women became close friends with the women in their small groups. And they were able to foster good, solid Catholic community. And when you have that Catholic community, then you're surrounding yourself with positivity, and then you can encourage each other and hold each other accountable. Like, I was held accountable at Given. So I think that's one. I know after we did the 8-week series the first time, there was a young mom who commented afterwards saying, you know, I was raised in a Catholic family. I had a strong prayer life. And then I got married and had a couple kids. And even though, you know, Jesus is a very important part of my life, I kind of just got out of the habit of daily prayer. And I'm realizing that, like, when I start my day with prayer, I'm able to be so much more present to my husband and to my children. And that was, I think, one of the best pieces of feedback I could have ever received, is that through Behold, she was encouraged to reignite a daily prayer life, be consistent with that, and through that receive the grace to fulfill her vocation as wife and mother.
Yeah, well, it is. It's tremendously a tremendous sign of the fruit that Behold is bearing in the lives of young adult women. We should probably talk a little bit about maybe the actual logistics of what's coming up with this upcoming Behold series. So do you want to do that or shall I? I know we're going to hit it in the calendar items, but we can definitely talk about it.
Sure.
So young women between the ages of 21 to 29.
Yes.
So 21 to 29 is kind of who you're focusing on.
Yes. So 21 to 29 is our goal. If you are a little bit younger, a little bit older, feel free to give me a call or send me an email. But we want to keep that young adult age range close to the 20s.
Okay. So, all right. You might be grandmothered in, so to speak.
If it has happened before.
Okay. All right. Very good. And it's a mission to help, as Susanna said, each woman recognize the gift that she is, realize the gift she's been given, and give the world the gifts that only she can give. It's an 8-week series.
Yes.
Why did you decide on 8 weeks for Behold?
Well, given the content of the talks that we had during the one-day retreat, that's just how we were able to make sure that every talk was given the full length of time that was needed. So some of the talks at the retreat were closer to an hour long, some were closer to a half hour. So we just wanted to break it down to make sure that there was enough time given to each.
And, well, you already mentioned Dr. Deborah Savage being one of the presenters. Who are some of the other presenters?
Yeah, so we're switching things up a little bit in this series. So we have a lot of the same topics covered in 2019, but some of our new topics that we're going to be covering, one I'm very excited about, is on Catholic entrepreneurship and blogging. And the speakers for that are going to be Nell O'Leary. Some of you may be familiar with her name. She's the managing editor of Blessed Is She.
Mm-hmm.
And we also, joining her will be Bridget Busacker. She's a young adult in our archdiocese, and she's also the founder of the website Managing Your Fertility.
Yep.
So they're going to be speaking. They both have their own blogs, and they are both Catholic entrepreneurs. And so I'm so excited. I think that's a topic that a lot of women are interested in.
And if you want a preview, we had them on the program here, the Rediscover Hour.
A few weeks ago.
Just go look at them.
And then we also, one question that some people have is, you know, well, is this meant to, like, get women into the religious life? And that is not the goal.
Okay.
We do have a religious sister speaking. We're going to have Mother Mary Claire, the founder of the Handmaids of the Heart of Jesus in New Ulm, speaking. But her topic is on the importance of laity in the world. So this is not meant to, like, start filling convents. If that happens, praise God.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is also meant to help women become the best woman they can, the best person they can be, the best mother, the best wife, or whatever it is that God is calling you to do as a single woman. It's meant to encourage you in that. So
that's great.
Don't hesitate to register just because you're afraid that it's something trying to call you to a religious vocation. That's not the case.
Okay. Just to continue on with the logistics, they'll take place, the 8-week series takes place 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Our Lady of Grace in Edina, and it starts Thursday, October 3rd.
Yes.
So people have about just a little over a month. Now, you do have to register for this.
Yes.
Correct. And that's at the events page at archspm.org.
Yep. Just go to that page. You can find it under the women's page or the adults page, or you can just type in Behold or Google Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, Behold.
Yep.
Or just email me.
There's many, many ways to do it. Okay, to register. Is there a cost involved?
Yes, there is a cost. And actually, do you have that cost on the calendar items?
I don't have it right now, but I
believe it's $50.
Okay, we'll look up. Well, that's still, for an 8-week series, that's not too bad at all. Yeah.
And there's snacks.
Okay. snacks are good. I'm always up for snacks, although this
and
obviously
coffee.
Is not for me. I'm always up for coffee as well. Well, just in our closing minute here, just want to ask you if you'd say anything to encourage young women to try to consider attending Behold. What would you say to them?
Yeah. Well, what I would say is I received a lot from Behold, even though I was the one organizing it, even though I was trying to craft it after the Given Institute. I did the Given Institute, and then I hosted the Behold Retreat and then the Behold 8-week series. And each one of those events, I walked away learning something or being prompted to pray with something specific. So I guess what I would say is the Lord has something for you. And if you're open to it, just, you know, let him speak to your heart. And you never know what he might want to be showing you or teaching you from day to day.
Isn't that the truth? Wow. Susanna Perrin, thank you so much for being on this side of the mic here.
This was a joy.
I know. It was good, right? on the Rediscover, sharing with us about Behold. Again, Paul and I will hit them hit it again, hit all the logistics during the coming up events calendar. But God bless you and your work, all your
work. Thank you very much.
With the Office of Evangelization.
All right.
We're going to go to our next break. When we come back, Paul and I do have a number of events. I'm not sure we're going to get them all in. Well, we're going to try once we get back from break. So stay with us. Rediscover.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank, or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar, a place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year, and a guaranteed minimum return in the future, with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe-money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe-money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Say, Paul, have you ever met anyone who became a canonized saint?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I have either. But, you know, I'm starting your cause, Paul. Not right now.
You're I don't think you can start that until I die.
Yeah, okay. All right. Fair enough.
You want to know what's coming up?
Yes, I do.
Men, you're invited to join the Catholic Watchman and learn the books of the Bible with Father John Eckert at Holy Trinity Catholic Church, South St. Paul, Saturday, September 7th, a Bible boot camp. Discover the heroic men of the Bible. Find out how to make Scripture a part of your daily life. Learn how to lead your family in reading the Bible along with you. Check in 8 a.m. Boot camp runs from 9 to 3. Registration $40. That includes workbook, donuts, hearty lunch. The event is free for sons under age 18. Register online if you have questions. Contact Enzo Rondazzo at rondazzov@archsbm.org.
The annual Mass for Persons with Disabilities will be held on Sunday, September 8th, 2019 at 3 p.m. in St. Mary's Chapel at the St. Paul Seminary. This special Mass hosted by the St. Paul Seminary begins at 2:30 p.m. with sing-along, and then Archbishop Bernard Hebdo will celebrate the Mass and confer the Sacrament of Confirmation. All are invited and welcome. Please contact Deacon Eric Gunderson or Sonia Flomo at 651-291-4488 or email flomos@archspm.org for more information.
You're invited to the prayer and listening events hosted throughout the Archdiocese, providing the broadest opportunity for input from all Catholics in the Archdiocesan Synod process. These events will be part prayer and catechesis, part listening session. They're opportunities to discern together the pastoral concerns that may become topics of discussion for the Synod. A full listing of ideas of dates, times, and locations can be found on the events page at archspm.org. First event scheduled for Tuesday, September 24th, 6 to 9 p.m., St. Victoria in Victoria.
Be transformed and transform the world. You are invited to sign up for the Missionary Discipleship Series taking place this October 2019 to May of 2020. The Missionary Discipleship Journey consists of 3 4-week sessions. Each week includes a live presentation, reflection, prayer, Q&A, and a small group discussion. Speakers include Father Bryce Evans, Ryan O'Hara, Molly Shore, and yours truly. This year, the series is offered at 2 locations, Tuesdays at Epiphany in Coon Rapids and Thursdays at St. Joseph's in Waconia. Find the full schedule for all sessions and register on the events page at archspm.org.
Young women ages 21 to 29 are invited to hear the mission of Behold, a mission to help each woman recognize the gift she is, realize the gift she's been given, and give to the world the gifts that only she can give. This 8-week series is 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Our Lady of Grace in Edina, starting Thursday, October 3rd. It includes time for fellowship with other young adult Catholic women, Eucharistic adoration, awesome presentations from the Behold speaker team, time for Q&A. Find out more. Visit the events page at archspm.org.
And it is, I've confirmed, $50 per person. What a bargain. On the next Rediscover Hour, find out more about the upcoming Synod listening sessions from Archbishop Hebda. Also, we'll get an update on what the Minnesota Catholic Conference is working on from Executive Director Jason Adkins. And our monthly Great Catholic Parish segment features St. Joseph in Waconia. We'll talk with their pastor, Father Stan Mader, and Parish Life Director Cheryl Sauls. Until then, folks, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday afternoons at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.